Daf is Daf Ches, and we're going to begin on Daf Zayinam Beis, six lines from the bottom. Yesterday we learned what Rav Chisda taught us. Gufa, Amar Rav Chisda, not Kana B'Shus HaYachid, that somebody stuck a pole into Shus HaYachid, V'Zark V'Noch HaGabov, and then somebody threw from Rosh Hashanah onto that pole, a fil gvoy me amma, even if the pole is 100 amas tall, chayiv. He's chayiv from carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Why? Rosh Hashanah oil adu lakia. Rosh Hashanah goes up till the sky. There is no 10 tvachim requirement on Rosh Hashanah, and therefore it makes no difference how tall the pole is. Today, that was the point of yesterday's Gemara. Today the Gemara is going to focus on another issue that comes up after we hear of Chizda's Memra. Lemer of Chizda, Damak Rebbe. According to way we're learning now, let Rav Chisda agree with Rebbe, because Rav Chisda says that you're dealing with a pole. The pole could be a very skinny pole, and yet you're chayiv, even though it's not a dalad a dalad, which is ostensibly something that Rebbe said. We learned Rebbe's earlier. The Tanya, Zarek v'noch agav is this kol shehu. As somebody threw something and it landed on a skinny, small protrusion, Rebbe Mechayev, the Chom and Poitrim. So again, it seems when we learn that Mishnah simply, what is Rebbe telling us? Rebbe's telling us that you don't have to have a dalet al dalet. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya. And there are two versions in Rashi how to learn Abaya's response. We're going to explain the Gemara first with Rashi's second explanation, which is also the way Tosfos learns. Amar Abaya, you're right. Everybody will agree that in Rosh Hashanah there is no requirement for a dalet al dalet, as Rav Chisda says. Rosh Hashanah kulam lepligi kid Rav Chisda. Everybody agrees with Rav Chisda that you don't need a dalet al dalet. Al hocha be'ilan ha'oimed b'rushus ha'yochid v'noifay noitol rushus ha'rabim. So the tree itself, you have a tree, the trunk of the tree is in a rushus ha'yochid, but the branches are protruding into the rushus ha'rabim. V'sarach v'noch al noifay. And somebody went and threw from a rushus ha'rabim onto that tree. The Rebbe sover, Rebbe holds, Amrin and Shadi Noif Abasikrei. We say that the branches follow the trunk. And since the branches, since the trunk has a dalarad, since the trunk is in Rosh Hashayachid, I'll say that the branches, even though they're in sticking into Rosh Hashayachid, will be considered as if they were in Rosh Hashayachid. So if somebody threw from Rosh Hashayachid onto those branches, he will have done Haitzah from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hashayachid. Actually, Hachnas is the right word. If the branches themselves are in the Rosh Hashanah, the fact that the tree that they're sticking out of is in the Rosh Hashanah doesn't mean that the branches are Rosh Hashanah. The branches remain a Rosh Hashanah. So according to this version of the Gemara, everybody's going to agree that in a Rosh Hashanah there's no need for a dalet al dalet. The shaila is, do we say that the branches of a tree follow the trunk of the tree in terms of Rishuyos? Another version, which is Rashi's other version, is just the opposite. Everybody will agree that Rosh Hashanah requires Dalet al Dalet, not like Rav Chisda. The Shaila here is, if you have branches that don't have on them a Dalet al Dalet, but are connected to a tree which does have Dalet al Dalet, do I say that the branches are viewed as an extension of the tree? The Rebbe says, that's considered like you threw on dalet al dalet because it's an extension of the tree trunk which has dalet al dalet. And Rabbanan will say no because you look at the branches separately. New Gemara. Before we begin the next Gemara, we have to say two pieces of introduction. One is when we speak all along about Haitzah, we speak of Haitzah of items. You can move an item, you can move an article, and you can be over Haitzah for Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. When the Torah, when we speak in Masechta Shabbos, ready, Daf Ches, about Haitzah, we're not talking about Haitzah of Rishuyos. That means if you will have an item, an article, that is large enough to be a rishus b'fnei atzma, an individual rishus, and you'll carry such a large item, and it's not that large, because it's 10 tefachim, which is about 40 inches, by 4 tefachim, which is about 16 inches. So it's not such a necessarily large item. If you'll carry such an item, such a size, from rishus yochid to rishus rabim, you won't be chayiv, because you didn't carry a chayfetz, you carried a rishus. And like Rashi explains, the model for all malachas is the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they carried items. They didn't carry rishuyas. So we can't make you be chayv on Shabbos for something that didn't exist in the Mishkan. That's one introduction. Another introduction. A mathematical equation. We said a rishus yochid. What are the dimensions of rishus yochid? Yod by dalet. Yod tefachim by dalet tefachim. Now, dalet tefachim is a square measurement. Four tefachim by four tefachim. If you'll have a circle, if you'll have a round basket or a honeycomb, honey beehive, how and it's round, and you want to know if you can fit into it a square, a 4x4, how will you measure that? So the formula that's used is that if the diameter, if the diagonal of the circle, that means if you go from one, if you go across, is whatever that number is, a square is that number times 1.4. Meaning, if you want to have a square that will have walls that are 4x4, and you want to put that square into a circle, you'll have to multiply that by 1.4. So 4 times 1.4 is 5.6. So a circle that is 5.6 in diameter can hold in it a square that's 4x4. Now, actually, the Gemara doesn't use the fraction of 5.6. The Gemara uses the number 6. The reason the number 6 is used is Machlekes Rishonim. Some say it's because the Gemara likes to use whole numbers. They don't want to use fractions. Another reason is because if you're dealing with a basket or a beehive, you have to take into consideration the thickness of the wall that take up room also. So if I have a thing that's 6, and then I deduct the thickness of the wall, I'll have 5.6. So now we can begin the Gemara. Amar Abaya, Zara Kaveris L'Shus Rabim. If I throw from Shus Yochid a beehive, and that beehive is Gevay Yud, Ve'en Rechavavav, it's 10 tefachim high, but it's not 6 in the diameter, Chayiv. Because that's not a Rishus for itself. Because it might have the requisite height, but it doesn't have the requisite width. Rechavavav, but once it's 6 in the diameter, then you potter, because it already has the requirements of Rishus. It's 10 by 4. And like we said before, the Chiv is only for carrying Chfeitzim, not carrying Rishuyus. The Ritva makes a very interesting observation. He says, Al Gemara is talking about carrying from Rishus Ram to Rishus Yochid, or Rishus Yochid to Rishus Ram. Why? Because like we said before, the model was the Mishkan, and in the Mishkan they carried Chfeitzim, not Rishuyus. It's the only Chai when you carry Chfeitz. However, when it comes to the other Halacha of carrying Dalet Amos Rishus Rabim, there the Halacha is that it doesn't make a difference even if you carry Rishus. Because the whole din of carrying Dalet Amos Rishus Rabim is the Halacha Moshe Sinai. It's not being modeled after the Mishkan, and therefore makes no difference what the size is. Other Rishonim disagree, and they say the Gemara is talking about all types of Etzah. Now comes along Rava and tells you, I could show you that even if it's not Rechav Avav, you'll still be Potter for carrying. Rava Mafila in Rechav Avav, Potter. My Tama. It's impossible that we're talking about a wicker basket. And the reeds, the wicker itself isn't the perfect science, so sometimes it'll be a little higher than 10. If it's going to be a little higher than 10, and you carry it from Rishus Yochid to Rishus Rabim, that means you did not deposit the whole, you carry it from Rishus Yochid to Rishus Rabim, you did not deposit the entire chayfetz in the Rishus Rabim. Because the Rishus Rabim, we learned, only goes up to Yud, and part of this is protruding l'malam Yud. And therefore, Rava says, you won't be chayif. Not, and Abaya conceptually agrees with Rava. The only reason Abaye doesn't say what Rava said is because Abaye holds that it can be perfectly 10. But Abaye would agree that if you saw that it's larger than 10, Tosfos points out according to Abaye, you'd be chayif. You'd also be potter, even if it's not Rechav Avav. Comes along another halacha, kaf al pia. Instead of throwing it, and the way to imagine this is if you had a cup, you could hold the cup in one of two ways. You could hold the cup like the normal way, where the bottom is the bottom, the top is the top, or you could hold the cup upside down. If you hold the cup upside down, so you have an opening. We learned the concept of lovet. Lovet says that whatever is within three tefachim of the ground is already extended to the ground. So let's say you'll have a cup that's a little more than seven tefachim in height. When it comes within three tefachim of the Rishus HaRabim, we extend the walls of the cup, and it's already considered like it's on the floor. But it's going to be seven, let's say it's a seven and a half tefach utensil. Seven and a half plus three is 10 and a half. So it's already above Rishus HaRabim, and you won't be chayiv. Kaf al piyah, let's say you had it upside down, not the normal way you would hold a cup. Shiva mashu chayiv, it's only seven yuchayiv. Shiva mechza potter. Rav Ash Yama, that if you shiva machtz, you still be chayiv. My tama, mechitzis l'toich nesuyus. So the way the Chazanish explains the Gemara is as follows. Everybody agrees that there's a concept of lovet, that something which within three tefachim of the ground is considered like it's on the ground. But now we're taking the concept of lovet one step further. We're taking the concept of lovet and saying that lovet could extend walls. Zokt Rav Ashi, to do that, you have to have walls that are meant to be extended. The walls of a cup, perfect example, are not used to extend it. They're not walls, they're not mechitzes. They're there to hold whatever you want to have inside the cup. On those kinds of walls, which are only made to hold, to be a storage of what's inside, the concept of lovet, of extending walls, says Rav Ashi, is inapplicable.
For a halachic wall, it's a sukkah.
It would work.
Say it would work
because you're intending to make a wall. You need a wall, and lovet can extend walls. Here, it's not a wall. Here, it's a cup. So you can't... extension can only work on a wall, not on a cup. That's exactly what Rav Ashi says.
But more than that, it can only extend the wall when you need dafka, the 10th fachim.
No, that I don't know. It works by itself. By a wall, extension works, wherever the chips fall. But you have to have a wall, not just a storage. And Tosfos points out that even if I'm going to follow Rava and say that I can't say extension on every item, the item has to at least be dalad by dalad. Because if it's not, again, it's a very nice concept. Because you can only extend something which is a wall. If it's such a small area that it's encompassing, it isn't choshev enough that I could extend it. Continues the Gemara. Amma Ula, another halacha. Amma Tushab Rishus Rabim. You have a pole in Rishus Rabim that's 9 tefachim tall. V'rabim v'kasmalov. And a lot of people use it to put items on it. Zark v'nocha gabav. And then somebody threw something from Rishus HaYochid and landed on it. Chayif. It's considered Rishus HaRabim. So the way the Mefarshim explained it very nice. My tam. First, let's explain the Gemara. Pachs Mishloisha, anything that's within three tefachim of the ground, Midras Darsalei Rabim, people step on it, and it's certainly considered part of Rishus HaRabim. Mishloisha Vatesha, something that's between three and nine tefachim tall, Loi Midras Darsalei, people don't step on it, it's too big. But on the other hand, like Sufi Makasfi, people won't use to keep something on it because it's too short. And that's why it'll be a karmelis if it's dalet al dalet. Tisha, but when it's nine tefachim, vadim kasmalei. It's used to put on, and it becomes part of the Rishus HaRabim. There's an interesting machlokes Rishonim. When the Gemara says here nine tefachim, what does the Gemara mean with nine tefachim? Exactly nine? Or does it mean 9 to 10? It means above 10, it's not a Rishus HaRabim, because we learned Rishus HaRabim only goes up to 10. Below 9, we just finished explaining, is not Rishus HaRabim. Does it mean 9 exactly, or does it mean between 9 and 10? Most Rishonim learn between 9 and 10, but other Rishonim learn exactly 9. I saw a very interesting question. If you're going to say it's exactly 9, there's a concept of an halacha of EF Shlatzamtzim. You can never be exact. So how can you know it's exactly 9 Tfachim? It was saying that the number 9 that the Gemara is using is Dafka 9. How can you know for sure that it's 9? So Sefer Megadim Chadashim brings down from the Steichemer a very interesting answer. He says the concept of EF Shlatzamtum, that you can't be exact, means when you have two items. It means if you take a piece of matzah and you break it in half and you think you got it perfect. So EF Shlatzamtum tells you you can never be perfect. You can never for sure that you cut it 50-50. But when you're only dealing with one item, here we're dealing with one pole, you can't say EF Shlatzamtum and say that you can measure that it's exactly 9. So that's what Abai says. That's what Ula says. Now asks Omar Abai Baila Rav Yosef. So Abai asks Rav Yosef, what's going to be the halacha by Guma? That means, if you'll have a ditch in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that's 9 tefachim, will that be considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim or not? Omalei v'chem b'guma. It doesn't make a difference if it's going up or it's going down, it's the same halacha. Rav Omar b'guma loy. By ditch not, my tama. Tashmish ayde etchak, loy shmei tashmish. Using a pole, people hang things on a pole, but people won't put things in a ditch. So Tosfos says that when the Gemara here asked the question about a ditch that's 9 tefachim deep, the Gemara's question certainly includes 8, 7, 6. Because if you're going to use a ditch that's 9 tefachim deep, which is already somewhat of a depth, certainly when you have less than that, it's more usable, and certainly be a Rishus Rabbim. That means, according to Tosfos, in the height, it has to be exactly either 9 or anywhere from 9 to 10. In the depth, according to Tosfos, it's anywhere deep 9 or less, because it's more usable. I saw from the Kehillas Yankov that connects this machloikus of Abai and Rabbi Yosef to machloikus we learned yesterday. Yesterday we learned if Chayri Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah Dama or not. Abai said it is, that the holes attached to Rosh Hashanah next to Rosh Hashanah are, and Rav said not. Why? It's the same concept. Abai said it doesn't have to be perfect and still can be considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The same thing at Guma. Even though it's not that usable, it still can be considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Rava, who said Chayri Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is not Rosh Hashanah Rabbim because it's not that accessible, will also hold that the Guma, which is a Tashmish Al Yidei Tchak, the Gemara says, is also not going to be considered a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So the Lishitosam. Eisei Rav Adba Masna LeRava. We learned such a case. Haisa Kupasam Nachs Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. If somebody has a box in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Gavai Asar of Rechav Adalim, it's 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, Eim Atatlan Loim Atoich Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you're not allowed to carry from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to it, V'loim Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Atoichai. Why? Because this box is a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. It has all the required dimensions. Pachs Mikan, but if the box is smaller than that, Batatlan. You could carry, because it's not a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, so you're not carrying from Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Asks Rashi, why doesn't it become a karmelis? So Rashi answers, ain't karmelis for kalim. You can't turn a keli, it's a box. A keli can't become a karmelis. Bechem beguma. And the Brice ends with the words, bechem beguma. Why is bechem beguma? My love, isn't the Brice saying, a sefer, that if the guma, if you'll have a ditch in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, which is less than 10 tefachim, you'll be allowed to carry from it to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Why? Because it's a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and you can carry from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So don't we see from here that a Guma that's only 9 tefachim is Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, which is exactly what Abai said? So as the Gemara loy, what the Brice meant was a Reisha, that if you'll have a ditch which is 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, it'll be a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. But that doesn't mean that if it's only 9, it'll be a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. I want to make an observation here that we'll talk about more in Amud Beis. The Gemara wants to say that if the Guma is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, then you could carry, you could carry from it to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So it seems that in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, as long as you're not carrying Dalet Amos, you're allowed to carry. Right? Otherwise, you shouldn't be allowed to carry, because even though you're not allowed to carry Dalet Amos, maybe you're not allowed to carry less than Midrabbanan. From here, it seems that Midrabbanan, there's no problem of carrying less than Dalet Amos. Just let's hold that. Eisvei. So ask the Gemara another question. It says, Niskavim Lishbet B'Shus Rabbim, a word of introduction. On Shabbos, there's a halacha, you're not allowed to walk more than 2,000 Amma outside of where there are houses where there's dwelling. That's what's called a Tchum. If a person wants to be able to extend the direction he can walk in one direction, what he does is he puts down a Eruvei Tchumim. A Eruvei Tchumim means that you put it after the 2,000 amos you have in one direction, you put there an Eruvei Tchumim, you put some food there, and there's a concept to it. What it does is, it says that that's where you're living. You live where your food is. And if your food is there, Babayna Shmoshes, it's considered like you're there, and you can walk 2,000 amas from your tchum. But there's nothing free in life. You can't walk in the other direction. So, now, Miskavim Lisbeth B'Shus Rabbah. A person intended that the place of his Shvisa, the place where the 2,000 amas he has should begin, is in Rishus Rabbah. V'niach Eruv B'bor, and he put the Eruv Tchum, he put into a ditch. L'mal M'yutfachim, so the Bryce says, L'mal M'yutfachim Eruv Eruv. L'mat M'yutfachim Ein Eruv Eruv. More, if it's higher, it's good Eruv, if it's lower, it's not. What does this mean? Hey Chidami, what does this Bryce exactly mean? Ilem bar this bayis sorrow. You have a pit that's 10 tefachim deep. Ulamala, when it says that you put it higher in the bar, it means the deloy vaisva. You put it higher up in the ditch, not all the way on the bottom. Ulamata, when it says in the brayso you put it lamata, means the deloy vaisva. You put it on the bottom. Is the question mali lamala malamata? What's the difference where in the bar you put the erev? Hu b'makom echad. He wants to be kind of shvisa. He wants to have his 2,000 amma begin in the rishus rabim. And his Erev is in Rosh Hashayachid. Because if the bar is 10 tefachim deep, it's Rosh Hashayachid. And you have to be able to have access to your Erev. This person, by Beinah Shmashas, can't have access to his Erev. Because his Erev is in Rosh Hashayachid, and he wants to be kind of Rosh Hashayachid. So that can't be Peshat in the Braisa. Ella, what is the Peshat in the Braisa? The bar, the less be a sorrow. That when it says that it's good, as we're talking about a bar that's less than 10 tefachim deep. So since the bar is less than 10 tefachim deep, you could carry the Erev out of the bar to where you're standing in the Rishus Rabbim. That's why Eruv Erev. Alma Tashmish Ayday Tchachmei Tashmish. And even though it's not that great to work with a bar, it's still considered workable enough that should be considered part of Rishus Rabbim. So here we have a perfect proof, but why does the Brisa say when it's lamata miyasara, when the bar is 10 deep, it's a trusha sayochid and you can't carry. So here we seemingly at this point have a proof that a bar which is only 9 tefachim in the Rosh Hashanah has a din of a Rosh Hashanah. And again, we have a proof from here that you could carry in a Rosh Hashanah as long as you're carrying less than dalar amas. Because you could carry from inside the bar to outside the bar. And that's the observation the Rashba makes again. So, and Taka, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you look in the Rambam, they don't say anything about not being allowed to carry less than Dalar Amos on Shabbos in Rosh Hashanah. They only say it when you want to go a long trip. If somebody wants to do some sort of a trick, when he wants to carry something, and he's constantly walk less than Dalar Amos, that's Osir. But if that's not your goal, it doesn't say anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch or in the Rambam that it's not permitted. Now the question is, why isn't it a chatzi shir? 4 amas is asa midaraisa. 2 amas should be asa mitam chatzi shir, that it's a half of a shir. So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz we said here already, that the rishonim chatzi shir is that only by midah d'achila, by something of eating. Here it's not eating. Another terutz I saw, Sharm Tzion of Halacha, says like this. He says that where the Torah gives us a specific shir, we can't go and say that the shir is less. Now, the Torah never said that you're not allowed to eat a kazayis or machal sasurus. The Torah says you're not allowed to eat machal sasurus. We say it means a kazayis, chazal. Now we say it's a kazayis. A chatzi shir is less than a kazayis. Here it says, halach l'moshe m'sinai, specifically dalar amis. Chazal can't go and say, it says dalar amis, but even less is asur. That would be specifically abrogating what it says in the Torah. But there's a third pshat that I saw, which is a very fundamental explanation in what Dalar Amos Peshus Rabbim means. What is Pshat that you're not allowed to carry Dalar Amos Peshus Rabbim? So the Baal HaMor says, Dalar Amos Peshus Rabbim means like this. Every person, his place is considered Dalar Amos. That's considered my area. If I go outside the Dalar Amos, that means I went like a Hoitzah, from my area, outside my area. So it sounds very good. If you carry less than Dalar Amos, you didn't do anything, because you're still within your parameter. And that's why less than Dalar Amos is 100% mutter according to the Baal HaMor. But back to where we started. From this price, we seem to have a raya that a bar that's only 9 tefachim deep in the Rishus Rabbim is going to be considered like the Rishus Rabbim. What would Rava do with this price? So the Gemara gives 2 terutzim. Zimna Mishana Lo, that really the situation here is that Huve Eruv Bekarmos. Not that he was wanted to be kind of shvisa and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. He wanted to be kind of shvisa and a karmelis. And this pit is also a karmelis. The Braisa says it's Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but my karle Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it's not Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it's a karmelis. Lefish and Rosh Hashanah Yochid. And the way the Mefarshim explain, the purpose of that Braisa is not to teach us Hilchos Rishuyos. It's not to teach us about the Rishusim that we're learning in this Masechta. It's to teach us Hilchos Erevin. And the point was that he and that the bar is not a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and that's why you can carry from the bar to the Kamelis that you're outside. But we're not trying to be exact and saying Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and saying Rosh Hashanah Rabbah Kamelis. It's only trying to say it's not a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. V'zimn el Rosh Hashanah Loi, a different answer. Who Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? He's taka standing in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And the pit is not Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Because it's like what Robert says, that if it's a pit, it's not going to be Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The pit is going to be a Kamelis. And that means I put the Erev in a Kamelis. How could I carry from the Karmelis to the Shusha Rabbim? So you have to add one more vort in talking about Eruvat Chumim. What is the defining moment of Kinyan Shvisa? What is the moment where we say, this is it, that now is the time that this is where you are for the Shabbos? Bein HaShemashas. Bein HaShemashas is not the time where it's Vaday Laila, where it's certainly Shabbos. It's a Zman that's a Sofik. So the Rebbe holds that even though we have certain shvusim, we have certain isuri derabbanan, which we spoke about a lot, that you're not allowed to carry from a karmelis to a shusha rabbim. It's a perfect example. When was that isur said midrabbanan? On Shabbos proper, not bein hashmoshes. So now, when do I want this erev to begin to work? Bein hashmoshes. What's your problem? That he's in a shusha rabbim, his erev is in a karmelis. It's bein hashmoshes. Bein hashmoshes, you're allowed to do a derabbanan. So that's why you can carry from the Karmelis to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and even though it's a pit, that's not Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It's not nothing to do with Muksa. It's Kenyan Shvisa. Also, the same concept. Bein HaShemoshes is the beginning of Shabbos for all these things. Very good example. The Rebbe, he d'amar kol davar shu mishum shvus legozer lo bein HaShemoshes. Anything that's bein HaShemoshes, we don't worry about shvusim. Says the Gemara, don't think I'm just trying to push you away with, say, some sort of a teretz to try to come up with an answer. This is Rebbe's really shita. The Tanan, if you have a puddle of water, and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you know, if you have a puddle of water in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it's a Mishnah, an Erevin. If somebody throws something Dal Amis through that puddle, he's chayiv, because it's considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The kama he rekak ma'im. What is considered such a puddle? Pachs mi yotfachim. If it's less tfachim, rekak ma'im. Shishrus rabim malachspa. If you have a puddle of water where shishrus rabim walks through, people walk through. Hazarik l'toicha dalar amas chayiv. If somebody throws dalar amas, he's chayiv. When you learn this mishnah, it's obvious problem. It's totally redundant. You have the exact same concept and same halacha repeated twice. So the gemara explains. Bishlamer rekak trezimni. There was a need to speak about a puddle twice. Why? Chad b'maisa chama, v'chad b'maisa gshamim. One was for the summer and one was for the winter. V'tzricha. And I need to speak about the summer and the winter separately. De'ashmin b'chad chama. If I were only talk about the summer, davidi inshel kruy nafshayu. People walk through puddles in the summer because they're hot, and that's the way they'll cool themselves off. Av b'maisa gshamim. In the winter, where everybody's cool enough, nobody's going to walk through the puddle. Emaloi, it should not be considered a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. V'yashmin b'maisik shamim. If I was only talking about the winter, I say agav the mitnif mikri v'nachas. People's clothing were anyway dirty. They lived in places where they didn't have such paved street, so the clothing got dirty. So it doesn't make a difference. I'll walk through the puddle. My clothing are dirty anyway. Abba b'maisik shamim. By my Masechama, in the summer when my clothing is nice and clean, I won't want to walk through a puddle. That's why it's Tzriyucha. That's why I had to say Rekak twice, once for the summer and once for the winter. But the question still goes back. El Hilach Trei Zimna Lamali. Why does it have to say Hilach twice? El Shmamna Hilach Aydei Tchak Shmei Hilach. Dafka walking. What this mission is teaching us is because there it's talking about walking. Walking is not considered walking. The walking is considered walking, even though it's not so comfortable. But tashmish, using an area, is not usable if it's l'idei tchak, lo yishmei tashmish. Shema mino, and that's why Rav, the Gemara says, is correct in saying that a ditch that's 9 tfachim in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim will not be considered part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. just one ha'or I saw. The Gemara says here that according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi, Bein HaShmoshes, there's no problem with a Shmos. And that's why Bein HaShmoshes, according to Rabbi, you could carry from a Carmelis to a Rosh Hashanah. When the Gemara says, you know, that every Shabbos has two Bein HaShmoshes. There's a Bein HaShmoshes. Yeah, when Rabbi said it, is it only Makom Mitzvah or any other places? We'll learn the sugya. But certainly there's a dispensation according to Rabbi Bein HaShmoshes. Every Shabbos has two Bein HaShmoshes. There's Bein HaShmoshes before Shabbos, there's a Bein HaShmoshes at the end of Shabbos. When Rabbi says this kula, did he say it only at the beginning of Shabbos? At the beginning of Shabbos, he clearly said it. That's what our Gemara is discussing. Is Rabbi's dispensation also relevant after Shabbos? Or after Shabbos, it's already Shabbos, and until you know for sure that Shabbos is over, you can't carry. Because it's here, what's the pshat? Because before Shabbos, I don't know yet it's Shabbos. So since it's only a Shavuos, and you can't tell me for sure it's Shabbos, you were allowed to carry till now, I allow you to continue carrying. But at the end of Shabbos, it's just the opposite. Till now, you weren't allowed to carry, and I'm not going to allow you to carry until you could prove conclusively that it's not Shabbos. Or you could say it the other way. Since it's only Bein HaShmoshes, since it's only a Sofik, Chazal did not make the Xeris in such a time.
But even if you say one or the other, it'd be impossible to say both.
Because it's either here, it's here. But there's a way of working with that, because each child is a separate child. The Shef Shemaita talks about that. Good point. Amar Rav Yehuda, New Gemara. High Xeris of the Kani. Sometimes you have a Bax, which is a very heavy Bax. So how do you move it? The way you move it is, you keep on flipping it. Hi, Zerz of the Kana. Rav of Zakme, you keep on flipping it. Lom Chayiv, you're not Chayiv for Haitzah, or you're not Chayiv for carrying a Dalar Amos of Shus Rabim, ad Okalei, until you actually pick it up. Why? Because this is the way we learned all along, from the beginning of the Masechta. Then in order to be Chayiv for Haitzah, you have to have an Akira and Anacha. When you flip an item, you don't have an Akira and Anacha. What about all the Rishonim discuss a different Shaila? What happens if you have a heavy box, but you're not flipping it, you're just dragging it? So you didn't actually pick it up from the floor, you just dragged it along the floor. Would that be considered a problem? Would that be considered Haitzah or Dal Amos or not? So all the Rishonim say that will be considered. You didn't pick it up. But since the entire box is in motion at the same time, when you're dragging it, you're dragging all of it. When you flip it, part of it is moving and part of it is not. That's why it's not considered an Akira. But if you're dragging it, even though you didn't actually lift it off the ground, that's considered an Akira. An Akira does not necessarily mean lifting off the ground. It means moving it. And since the entire item is a movement at one time, it will be considered carrying as far as Haitzah and Achnosah and Dalar Amos Pshus Rabim. Somebody asked me, interesting Shaila, I didn't see anybody should ask it. If that's true, that even by dragging it, it's considered Haitzah v'Achnasah. Why didn't the first Mishnah talk about such a case? The Mishnah spoke about the Ani placing it into the Baal Bais' hand. The Mishnah could have told us a bigger Chiddush. The Mishnah could have told us that the Ani dragged it from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah and he's still Chayiv.
So it's not like Kinyan where you have to...
Right, we're not talking about Kinyanim.
I understand, but there's a distinction Shabbos and Kinyan.
Right. Well, here we're talking Shabbos. And Anach will be when you stop. Amar. What? Kicking the ball, same thing. Taisha talks about rolling. Amamar. Adam, we learned in the Braisa on Dav Zayin. Adam Aymar al Askupa, a person stands on the threshold, and that looks like this, and we'll discuss what halachic parameters this threshold holds. Noitamal Balbais, he could take something from the Balbais who's in the Rishis Yaakov Naisen Loi, or Noitamal Ani, or he could take something from the Ani who's in the Rishis Rabbi Naisen Loi. Now, ask the Gemara, Hai Eskupa Mai, what is the status of this Eskupa? Elaim Eskupa Rosh Hashanah Rabim, if you're going to tell me that the Eskupa has a status of Rosh Hashanah Rabim, so we have a question, Noitim El Balbayis, he could take something from the Balbayis, who's in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, Hamatik Rosh Hashanah Yochid Rosh Hashanah Rabim, he's taking something from Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Ella, what am I going to say? That the Eskupa has the status of Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So then we have a different problem. Noitim an Ani, he takes something from the Ani, Hakamayim Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah Yochid. He's taking from the Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Yochid, which is also obviously also. Ella, the Aloch is, a scoop is Karmelis. The scoop is a Karmelis. So then we have a question. It says here in the Braisa, Noitim an Noitim Chathila, he could take and give from the Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Enochanami, he won't be Oivan Issa the Raisa, because a Karmelis is only with Rabbanon. But Soif, Issura, Mia Isa. You're being over an Issa Medrabonin. Because Medrabonin, as this same Brisa teaches us, you're not allowed to carry from a Rishus Rabbim to a Carmelis or from Rishus Yochat to Carmelis. So what is the case over here? I'll answer the Gemara, El Eskupa Mokim Ptor Ba'amahu. The Eskupa is a Mokim Ptor. Why? Kigoyin the less by Dalet al Dalet. The Eskupa does not have the dimensions of a Dalet al Dalet. The Chihad, the Oster of Dimi Amr of Yochran, Mokim Sh'ein by Dalet al Dalet. A place that isn't Dal al Dal al Tfachim, Mutal ibn Rishus Rabbit, Rishus Yochit, Ubn Rishus Ram Kasav Lov. You're allowed to put somebody from Rishus Yochit could put his item over there, and somebody from Rishus Ram could put his item on it. Why? Because he's carrying from Rishus Yochit to Makom Ptor, or from Rishus Ram to Makom Ptor. However, Ubavach lo Yachlifu, what does Bavach lo Yachlifu mean? You can't use that area as a transfer point from Rishus Yochit to Rishus Rabbim. Meaning, you can't have somebody standing in Rishus Yochit, giving it to the person standing in the Makom Ptor, and then the person in the Makom Ptor will give it to somebody standing in Rishus Rabbim. Because at the end of the day, you had an item that was transferred from Rishus Yochit to Rishus Rabbim. So I saw from the Shalas of Shuvas B'Tzela Chachma a very interesting Pesach Halacha. You can't have three Jews lined up, one in Rishus Yochit, one in the Makom Ptor, and one in the Rishus Rabbim, and using that as a transfer to take from Rishus Yochit to Rishus Rabbim. That's what this Gemara is saying. What's going to be if you have a guy in the middle? And you'll have a Jew in the Rishus HaYochid giving it to the guy. Is that permitted? That's 100% permitted. To take something from Rishus HaYochid and give it to a guy in a Makom Ptor is 100% permitted. Now, will that Jew be allowed to go to the Makom Ptor where the guy accepted it from and give it to the other Jew on the Rishus HaRabim? A guy is certainly allowed to do it. Because a guy is allowed to carry from a Rishus Yochit to Makom Ptor and from Makom Ptor to Rishus Rabbim.
What about
the Hanacha? The guy doesn't serve as a Hanacha. There's no Hanacha by a guy because there's no Issa by a guy. It's not considered the guy did a Hanacha because that's exactly
but
the Tzelech.
But you made Hanacha
into the. So I made into the guy's hand, which is in Makom Ptor. The guy took it from the Rishus Yochit to the Makom Ptor.
Yeah.
Was that permitted? 100% permitted.
He took it
from the Rishus Yochit. Now could I go and carry it from the Makom Ptor? I, the Jew, carry it from the Makom Ptor to the Rishus Rabbim. Normally a Jew is not allowed to do it. Because a Jew can't affect the transfer midrabbanan from Rishus Yochit to Rishus Rabbim. But here the Jew did not affect the entire transfer. Part of the transfer was done by a guy. And by a guy there's no problem telling him to do this. Because for a guy there's no Amir Lakim because there's no Melacha here. Because he carried from Rishus Yochit to Makom Ptor. So that thereby you could even get an item from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim and you didn't have to use a guy for the whole transfer. The Jew departed the transfer.